The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And welcome back here on a Monday afternoon. And let's check in with Dale next in Louisiana. Hey, Dale.
How you doing, my friend?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I just want to encourage you, Brother Paul, and just throwing yourself out there, and you keep us going. As you can hear, I'm doing Dallas. As I called you a couple of years ago, and I just appreciate we do, and it just keeps me. I don't watch much TV at all, my friend, but just appreciate you. I was going through cancer, whatever, in June, colon. And it kept me going in the hospital, you know. But once again, I know I need to let you go, my brother.
Dale, listen, thank you. We're all thinking of you, and just you.
I'm all right.
You hang in there. And,
I'm all right.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dale.
I just want to encourage you, my friend. I'm going to let you go, okay?
No, you be well. And when you every time we you start to think about woe is me, you hear that guy, colon cancer and then dialysis. And I wouldn't wish either one on anyone, but dialysis is one of the most difficult things to go through. And I applaud his attitude. Thanks so much. I-Man is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul. First off, prayers to Dale. And there's many more Dales and Alices and Margarets and Bobs out there going through a lot of things. And I think we've learned over the years when we understand what's going on, thoughts and prayers are to everybody. And you know what? We're all one step away from needing those same thoughts and prayers. I mean, we're still alive, and it's funny how your body just turns on you. It's not what it was yesterday. I was listening to Jim's call, and I certainly wouldn't disagree with anything Jim said, because he has a right to his own opinion and his words and his call. But I do disagree in this. I don't fear my God. I don't fear my God not one bit. He's got the parameters that I fear me. I'm the one that's gonna break rules. I mean, I'm the one that's gonna do the disappointing. It's not my God. My God is set a standard for me, and I live with faith, and I live with pure faith, and I don't live in fear. I mean, I just don't, other than myself. You know, Paul, if you built this program in Birmingham, and I would think with your writing and the controversy, either people loved you or they hated you. I would think that this. If we raise the hood up on the Paul Feinbaum Legacy newspaper radio show, we would see mostly made in Alabama parts in that car, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Alabama fans, because they love to hate you more than anybody. Because you don't look at the X's and O's and batting averages and all those kind of things. You tend to look at the management side of things and just see how people are doing it. That, and I think that's what intrigues you the most with Nick Saban. And I think that's why you favor him, because there's something about his management style. I don't think he's a great coach, but I think he's got a hell of a management in progress. And I think that's what you look at it. But when you hear these Bama fans call in, I tell you, you ought to just not even take those people's calls. Those are those Johnny-come-lately wannabes that just want to disagree because you're pointing out facts. And oh, you just hate Alabama all the time. No, you don't. I think you hate everybody equally. But when it comes, I think Alabama, you do have a favoritism towards Alabama. And when you do have to use that harsh ruler, you can be pretty hard on them, but you are pretty hard on those schools. And just like I tried to draw the lines the other day, I mean, if Hugh Freeze was 2 months ago, if he was tweeting, you wanted him fired. Now you're sitting there looking at this situation. Had you been any of those people in charge of the basketball team, knowing what you would have known 5 weeks ago, what would you have done? Would you have have let the kid stay on the team? Would you have suspended him? Would you have kicked him off the team? What would Paul Feinbaum have done in the management decision? What was in the best interest for that team and that school?
I mean, the moment that I became aware that he was involved with another player, and he was involved, I would have suspended him indefinitely until we all had a chance to take a deep breath, find out more about it. That's why you do that. However, in this particular case, I mean, the interests of the player were put in front of the university itself, and I think that's why the university is still paying for it. It's magnanimous that they were so concerned. But I wonder if they were talking to the player or maybe a player's representative. I really don't know what happened, and we still don't have an accounting of it, but that's what I would have done.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, had he been suspended, do you think, because we see how things work within the team network, we saw it at Missouri a few years ago, do you think had they suspended him that there could have been some serious problems throughout the entire basketball team?
Well, there could have been for this reason. I hate to keep saying the same thing over and over again, but the guy in jail right now was part of that team when the weekend began. And a lot of people just tend to act like that's no big deal. So you had him involved, and then you had two other players involved, obviously Miller and the other player who nobody talks about.
And maybe there's no reason
to talk about him.
And how many people actually are on the basketball team?
Basketball teams usually have about 13 to 15 players.
So you got a fifth of them right there if you're talking three.
Right.
And I believe that you could have.
I'm the only one who seems to think this matters, but 2 weeks later it came out officially that Oates signed a new contract with the school, and I just think that the general feeling was, let's keep everything. I'm going to use a phrase from 1990, I think. You'll remember it. Let's just keep everything down home, cuz.
Keep it down home, cuz.
Yeah,
and you know what? Yeah. We were only talking about a few bucks for groceries.
Yeah, and then let's worry about it later, and then you know what? Everybody forgot to worry about it later.
Right. All right. Now, in lieu of what happened Saturday, mm-hmm. I don't know if this is something they do all the time, but the little frisking thing.
Apparently do it every game.
I'll give you my opinion. You give me yours. I would have immediately pulled him off the floor. He would not play until I deemed something necessarily different about his opinion, his attitude. This is not a novelty funny moment. This is not one of them goofy kid moments. We're talking about this is as serious as it gets, and it just sheds a bad light. Now, what would you have done?
Well, first of all, I would have, if I had been in charge of the whole athletic department, I'm in, if that's what you're asking me.
I would have
at some point in time done a complete review of everything we do, meaning you call your staff in there, and you go over every aspect of basketball operations. And that's part of basketball operations. And you would think somebody, let's get everything on the table about how we handle situations and every time Brandon Miller is exposed to the media. And you would have thought that Greg Byrne, who goes to every game, and all of his staff of operations, you would think somebody there might have said, hey, let me ask you something. We do this little thing with Brandon when he comes out, and you think somebody might have looked at that and go, maybe this is not a good idea. In fact, it's a terrible idea, and nobody did, and that's why I blame the athletic director. He is in charge of that athletic department. People want to blame Nate Oates for everything. Nate Oates said Nate Oates is getting ready for a basketball game. He's not standing there like a fan. Cheering on the players as they come out. He's thinking about the first set of plays that he's going to run. Anyway, we're up against a break. We will talk to someone who has some opinions on what happened Saturday in Tuscaloosa, perhaps what should have happened. We will talk to a very prominent lawyer in the state of Alabama, Donald Maurice Jackson, who has represented countless players with against schools and the NCAA. He's got an interesting perspective, and we'll share it with you when we come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And that's a headline in the New York Post today about Brandon Miller and what happened over the weekend. We welcome to our show, back to our show, Don Jackson, who is an author, is a law school professor. Primarily, he's been an advocate during his many years as a practicing attorney in Alabama for young men in battles with the NCAA and others. And Don, thank you for being back on the show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So interested in your thoughts, because you have always just vigorously and loudly defended young people on their rights and have battled some of the biggest universities and the NCAA, as I mentioned. But just from not on top of the story being in Tuscaloosa, but from not far away, knowing that state, knowing the University of Alabama, just your reaction over the weekend when you saw the video of Brandon Miller coming out and to the cheers of 15,000 and more, and then in something that we most of us didn't realize was being patted down by a fellow player.
Paul, when I saw it, my initial reaction was not Brandon Miller, not the university, not Darius Miles. My initial reaction was sympathy for the family of this young lady that was murdered. It's very difficult for me to distance myself from the fact that these were a group of African-American young men and a young African-American lady that lost her life, people that look like me. So it's very difficult for me to distance myself from that. And the degree of anger that I felt when I saw that action. Now, it's my understanding that they've done that on a number of times before. They probably have done it all throughout the season, but I'm not so thrilled about the idea of seeing young black men being frisked as a part of some kind of act in a pregame show, whether it's after this incident or not. I thought it was offensive. I don't necessarily blame the players for it, and I'm not even sure that I can blame the coach for it, the head coach for it, although his comments in the aftermath of this, I thought, were awful. I do place a great deal of blame on the administration, on the athletic administration for this. There have been other examples, as you know, of student athletes that have been accused of gun crimes. I've got an issue about gun crimes involving college athletes on campuses and about them having guns on campuses at all. And the most recent incident was at New Mexico State, player named Mike Peake. He's a University of Georgia transfer. And ultimately, he was found to have acted in self-defense, also, although he never should have had the gun on the road in the first place. The actions that New Mexico State took was they immediately suspended that player indefinitely, pending the outcome of the investigation. There was an ongoing criminal investigation where he was exonerated of guilt, but he was not put back on the floor. The way that this has been handled, there are three issues: the law, the optics, and the ethics. From a legal standpoint, there's nothing to prevent Miller from being on the floor. From an optics and ethics standpoint, it's highly problematic him continuing to play. Optics this past weekend was awful. It was terrible for him. It was terrible for the university. It was terrible for the state. It was terrible general. Ethics, I want to ask a really different and difficult question. Would the response by the university and by this athletic director have been different if the young lady that was murdered had been murdered by a Caucasian player and a Caucasian mother? What would the response would have been? And then one other fact scenario. What would the response have been if three African-American players had been present, involved directly or indirectly with a murder of a Caucasian mother? I don't think we would have seen the same response from this athletic administration. I think from the optics and ethics standpoint, I don't think this young man should be on the floor. And I think he's actually doing himself harm by continuing to play. Athletic administrations and universities don't look out for the interests of coaches, and they don't look out for the interests of players. They look out for their own interests first and coaches and players second and third. And in this situation, it's quite possible that the approach that's being taken here is an approach that's damaging to both Brandon Miller, Nate Oates, and it certainly has to be hurtful to the family of this young lady that's murdered.
Chatting with Don Jackson from Montgomery, Alabama. Don, I mean, there's so much there that I'm not sure I could pick one to ask you about. But I am curious about the last thing you said in terms of damage. How do you believe, or what makes you believe that Brandon Miller is being damaged here by playing? Because the school would argue that they would be doing him perhaps more damage by having suspended him, thus implicating him in a crime that, as of this moment, nobody thinks he's guilty of.
Schools, there is no due process. You don't have a property interest in athletic participation or athletic eligibility on the college level. I fight that issue all the time. Sometimes we're able to push that through courts, but you don't have a property interest. As a result of that, a school can take a player off the court, off the field, off the pitch, off the track for any reason. Because a test score is questionable, because their GPA from high school is questionable, or because we're conducting an internal investigation to determine whether or not there is a gun culture in our basketball program. So I've represented McDonald's All-American players that have gone on to the NBA, NFL players that have gone through investigations, gone on to the NFL. Simply taking him off the court is not harmful. He's already done enough on the court to justify being a lottery pick or a high first rounder at worst. If this continues at the rate that it's going, his brand is going to be damaged significantly. Whether Alabama makes it to the national championship, Final Four, he is always going to be remembered for better or worse as a player that was in some ways indirectly connected with a murder. And I don't think that's beneficial for this particular player. The only benefit that could arise from that would be getting to the national championship, school benefits, the coach benefits, but ultimately he's still going to be deemed as somehow complicit in a murder. If this case has been adequately investigated internally by the university, by law enforcement obviously has conducted their investigation. If there's an internal investigation, the university investigates it, exonerates him, even though he sits for the remainder of the season, his reputation is clear and clean. If he leaves 5 weeks from now, after the NCAA tournament, he's out of there. There's no incentive for the university to engage in any kind of internal inquiry to determine whether or not anything inappropriate happened within the program. So in that respect, every high-level player has a full brand, and that brand has a quantifiable economic value. His brand is being tarnished right now. That situation last Saturday night tarnished his brand. And he's going to go into an NBA city a year from now, and he's going to have to rebuild that brand as a result of that incident last week. If he were an NBA player, an NFL player, a Major League Baseball player, a National Hockey League player, with these same facts and circumstances, he wouldn't be on the field. He wouldn't be competing right now. And the reality of the matter is, it's easier to sit a college player than it is to sit an NFL player or an NBA player, because they do have due process rights in their athletic participation. College players don't. So if he were an NFL player, he would sit. If you recall, Deshaun Watson sat for a whole year before the NFL made a determination about what penalty they were going to impose against them. We just saw a situation where Trevor Bauer, who's a Major League Baseball player, was suspended. He's not been charged with anything. He wasn't charged with a crime. But Major League Baseball said, that doesn't matter to us. We're going to investigate this, and we're going to suspend you. I think it's premature to make a conclusive determination about whether or not there's a gun culture in that program. And this is not anything negative against the University of Alabama, because the reality of the matter is there are gun cultures in a lot of college programs around the country. And Alabama was unfortunately the school that got pulled into the middle of this. I graduated from the University of Virginia Law School. We had three players murdered there. Devin Chandler, Deshaun Perry, and Lavelle Davis Jr. by another former player. So unfortunately, firearms on campuses now in athletic departments with players and former players, that is unfortunately a fact of life right now. I wish that it wasn't. But I think before you put a player back on the floor, I think there's an obligation. I think there's an obligation to that young lady's family. I think there should be an obligation to fans, to alumni, to players, to recruits, and future players to fully understand what happened here. Because I can't imagine how Nate Oates can go out and walk into anybody's house and recruit a player right now. I really can't. After his comments, after the way that this has played out, unless he's looking to recruit the type of players that he might have to defend in the future over a gun charge, I can't imagine how he could recruit anyone else's child right now.
Don Jackson, we will leave it there. Many thanks, Don. You be well. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you, Paul.
Don Jackson, a prominent lawyer in Alabama, author. He also teaches law, and he has represented many athletes against not only the school that they have played for, but the NCAA. We will take a short break. We're coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. We'll get some reaction to all of both Nolan Richardson and, of course, Don Jackson. How about Bill in Kentucky up next? Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You doing well?
We are. We're doing great. Thank you.
Okay. Paul, I want to share my opinion on the Brandon Miller thing. And then I wanted to follow up with something. But on this Brandon Miller thing, to me, Paul, he brought, I'm sorry now, but I'm not, this is not against Alabama. This is just, he brought, this is facts. He brought the murder weapon that killed this young woman, was killed. He brought it to the scene. I don't see how nobody is talking about why isn't he an accessory to murder. I mean, I hate to sound harsh, but I mean, that's to me what it is. What do you think?
Yeah,
Paul?
I mean, I think there's a lot of debate about that. And
I know they are.
And the one thing, there's a very easy way to prove whether he knew the message had come in or not. I mean, phone, you can check a phone and find out.
I was getting ready to say that.
Yeah, I will give you my best guess of a he's 20 years old. The question I would ask is: there a 20-year-old in America who doesn't immediately look at a text while driving?
Absolutely, they do. You know they do. And
by the way,
too, Paul.
Is there a 40-year-old, a 50, a 60, even a? I mean, everyone looks at text when they come in, whether they should. By the way, in my car, I don't know about yours, the text pops up on the windshield, on the screen I have.
Well, I have a screen in my car.
Yeah, I mean, that's not most cars have that, don't they? Isn't that something?
When a text comes up, I will glance at it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm guessing.
I don't see any defense. And when I seen the deal where he was being patted down and that deal, that was tasteless. That was awful.
It really was.
That's another thing. But I wanted to ask you.
By the way, I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming Brandon Miller. That's just something that they do. That the university, how could any adult in that athletic department who's at every single game, and I don't know, I mean, that was the next to the last conference game. So what has Alabama played? They play what?
They've got two more games.
Probably the 15th home game of the season. You don't think somebody would have picked up on that?
Right. Exactly. Yes. I couldn't agree more. I really appreciate you taking my call, and I did want to say this. Did you get to watch Kentucky and Auburn play the other night?
I caught a few minutes of it. I mean, you talk about a team that turned it around.
Paul, if Kentucky is peaking like what I'm looking like they're doing, they might make a serious run. I mean,
you know, Bill, before the season, I said I thought they'd go to the Final Four, and people were making fun of me. I may go back to that. I mean, you're right. They are they're a very streaky team right now. And this run that – I mean, 3 weeks ago, John Calipari had been laid to rest in terms of this year's tournament. Hey, thank you for the call. I really do appreciate it. Elliot is in Ohio. You're on the air. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that Ohio State follows R-Factor. R-Factor says that culture is set by the head of an organization, and that culture leads behavior within an organization. There is something inherently wrong at Florida basketball or at Alabama basketball, inherently wrong. Nate Oates needs to be fired or he needs to step down. That is inexcusable after what happened to that young lady, and she has a child that's out there by themselves, and they come out and pat him down, and they've been doing it all year, and Nate Oates doesn't have a clue. Who's watching after these basketball players? Who's modeling them and telling them what's right and wrong in the world? What a mess. This is a disaster.
John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, I agree with the earlier caller, and you hate Alabama, huh?
You know, what's the old joke about the weather, John? You know, if you wait long enough, it will. I still remember. I mean, I'm old enough to remember, John, a couple of months ago when I was living in Nick Saban's guest house.
I know. Well, Robert and Denise took you to task,
man.
Like nothing.
From now on, I'm not even going to resist. I mean, just take the pounding and don't even fight back. I'm a dead duck when it comes to Alabama. Everyone knows that.
May I have another, sir? I know what you're saying. Hey, I was so absolutely impressed with, was it Don Jackson?
Don Jackson, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably one of your most astute attorney calls since William. I mean, he covered it from soup to nuts. He got into the culture and the problems there. And I must admit, I was a little shocked to see the display before the game the other day. But, you know, the facts are this, Paul. There was a text sent. There was a gun delivered. There were two players blocking cars. Now, you can dispute that with the attorney, but I'm referring to testimony under oath by the Detective Culpepper.
Sure.
So I'm not really interested in all the storytelling by the attorney, but all the suppositions and opinions and theories, and really been disappointed with the coach. Once again, he looked rather clueless when he says, well, I didn't know they were doing it, and it's inappropriate. No, it's disgusting. And as far as I'll get off. There's a lot of callers. But as far as feeling sorry for the players or their victims or someone suggesting apologies, the only one that deserved that is the family.
JK is up next. Good afternoon, JK. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. You doing all right today?
Yes, we are.
Hey, Paul. I just want to join in on this conversation. And I want to pretend as if this player – played at Walmart A&M, so a certain fan base won't be mad at me or whatever. But anyway, Paul, I don't believe in the concept of innocent until proven guilty. And I believe that because there are people sitting in jail right now awaiting on trial, and we don't know if they're going to be proven innocent or guilty, so why are they sitting in jail? I don't believe in that nonsense that no one is above the law, because if you have enough money, you are above the law, and that's been proven. But I'm like the other caller. I absolutely believe that Walmart University, or Walmart A&M, is letting this thing string out until the NBA draft when this guy's gone, so no attention would be put on Walmart A&M University. That's exactly how I feel about the whole situation. And we can go on and on and on for days because, like I said before, you're going to get 50% of people feeling one way and 50% feeling another way. But just let it play out, and we'll find out in the end. And we all know Walmart A&M University, they dropped the ball. They should have done some things at the beginning that they didn't do that they should have done. But that's water under the bridge at this point until this trial is over and all the facts come out and lay it out on the table for everybody to see and not just guess at. Those are my opinions. Now, let's just talk about my team, the Miami Hurricanes, which laid a golden egg Saturday, blowing a 24-point lead and losing on a last-second three-point shot. But I felt a little better last night after the Dallas Mavericks did the same thing, blowing a 30-point lead against those sorry L.A. Lakers. Hey, Paul, you have a good day.
A.J. is up next.
Well, Paul, I was reached over to call you today, and God told me, he says, I want you to call and talk about Jim from Tuscaloosa. want you to ask Jim something, since he's such a compelling caller, so intelligent and articulate. I want you to explain to America why. Why does a tasteless Tuscaloosa basketball coach allow a pregame pat-down after what's happened? I mean, I want you to articulate for me, Jim, because, you know, you invented the Heisman Trophy. You're better than Ted Williams. You can beat Minnesota Fats at pool. And you invented the internet at this point, I think, you know, pretty sure that Jim invented the internet. But I just want you to do that, Jim. I want you to call back today, Jim. I want you to explain to us how the integrity-filled family at Tuscaloosa can allow a pregame pat-down. Jim, listen close, Jim. John.
Okay, we'll give Jim a chance to respond to that before the break. Jim?
I respond to nothing because this man is a complete mortal enemy liar from hell. That's all I got to say. Paul, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to respond, to clarify what I said and what I meant in regard to the comments from my man. Here, the Bible says this, the fear of the Lord, that's in Proverbs, Paul, I think you probably read it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, there's different types of fear. This fear that we're talking about now is not the fear of like some bad daddy, mean daddy coming in and beating you up all the time. That's not the kind of fear that God's talking about. He's talking about the fear of God and doing what he said not to do. That's the type of fear. You understand what I'm saying, don't you?
I believe I do, yes.
In other words, you better fear what you know is, if you're going against God and his word, that's the fear of God, that you don't do it. And that's what I hope I've explained that well. But that's what that meant.
Okay,
I've got it.
I read you loud and clear.
Well, that's in. You can read it in Proverbs. It's in Ecclesiastes, one of the strongest books in the Bible, and it's all this is in the King James Version, which is God's pure word. That's all I can say. But that's the kind of fear of when God tells you something, or if you know God is not wanting you to do something, I would suggest you don't do it. I'll give you one more verse. There's a jackass. It's in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Are you familiar with this story, Paul? About a jackass that one of the prophets was riding a jackass. And the prophet was doing something that God didn't want him to do. And he was headed out, and the jackass stopped and literally spoke to the man, to the prophet. And he said, "You can go on if you want to, but I'm not going any further. There's a 25-foot angel standing in front of me with his sword drawn. So that's all I can tell you," and that was the end of that. That's in the Bible.
Jim, thanks. We're up against a break. We have much more to come on a Monday afternoon. We appreciate you being here.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And John is up next in Michigan. Hey, John. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Appreciate you calling. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Great to talk to you. I love your show. I listen to it every day.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, I'm a Michigan grad, and I worked for Michigan's football team as a student manager in the late 90s and early 2000s. So, you know, I love my school and I love my team. And I know our coach is a little quirky now, but
a little bit.
I like the way we've been headed the last couple of years. But, yeah, I just wanted to chime in on the Brandon Miller thing. you know, I'm a lawyer and prosecutor, and, you know, I understand why he wasn't charged. I think they probably made the right decision, but I think the university from go has made just poor decision after poor decision after poor decision. And, you know, they should have been transparent about the fact that he was there from the beginning. They should have, you know, addressed everything that they knew from the beginning and just said, hey, we're letting the police investigation move forward. And then, you know, the stuff since last week when all the stuff came out, it's been kind of a ridiculous show of incompetence, in my opinion, that, you know, they've just kind of backtracked and backtracked and backtracked. And then over the weekend with this pat down thing, I mean, anyone with a brain would have known that was a really poor decision to do, especially the young man when everything's been on him for a week. And I just wanted to, you know, see what you thought about all that.
Yeah, John, I agree. And, you know, the university has pushed back saying they were not allowed. They couldn't release anything, that it wasn't their investigation. But, again, it sounds like gobbledygook to me. They can suspend the player, and they don't have to say anything. And quite frankly, you understand this being in the law. Most of the time, entities do not comment on ongoing investigations anyway.
No, they don't. And, you know, it might have been best for Tennessee to just say, hey, you know, we're going to take the safe road. He's suspended until we figure out exactly what's going to happen. And then once they decided not to charge him, he's back on the team.
John, really enjoyed the conversation. Let's do it again, and I'll try to be knowing you're out there listening, I'll be kind to Jim Harbaugh for at least a week or two. Thank you. We're heading to a break. We made it through half the show. So what's going on with Florida State? Do they want out of the ACC? We'll talk to David Hill coming up here. David Hale, too, in a minute.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.